But we have before us a brand new year. New things can take place. Things that you've done exceedingly well, you can do even better in the months ahead. You have a great Heavenly Father who has provided us, the Holy Spirit, who wants to do greater things through you and in you for our Abba Father's glory. And for just add other people recognizing His majesty in our world. Last week, we began a new but very short series. Last week, this Sunday, next Sunday, we will conclude it because we're looking at becoming well-respected leaders. And as I shared with you, if you weren't here last week, all of us, every single one of us are leaders. If we're Christians, we are leaders. If we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a leader. People are looking at Christians to see if they're really imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. They truly are. Before I came to faith in Christ, when I came home on leave from the military, my kid brother, Donnie, who none of you have met, he since went to be with the Lord a few years back. He, you know, being my brother and so forth, he was on me while I'm on leave about my sinfulness. And you know, most siblings are going to be on their sister or their brother anyway. And being the firstborn son of four sons in my family, you know, I'm the one that, I was the experiment, right? The firstborn is the experiment. So at any rate, you know, Donnie would be doing all these things that were what I considered unchristian. And I would point them out to him and just pick on him all the time because he wasn't perfect like all of you. You're all perfect, right? Of course not. None of us are perfect. But we are pursuing that exceptional thing with the Lord, and that is to be looking to becoming more excellent for our Heavenly Father's glory. So we have that opportunity ahead of us as we go forward in looking at becoming a well-respected leader. You and I are to be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't see Donnie imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I pointed it out to him. I didn't have to because I wasn't a Christian. So a lot of people have a lot of misunderstandings. They think we're going to be next to perfect, but we're not. But in our imperfections, we need to be very sensitive to being people who are apologetic. Telling people when we do mess up, you know, I hurt your feelings. I may have meant to or I may not have meant to, but I need to tell you I am sincerely from my heart sorry, and I'm asking you to forgive me. And as Christians, hopefully, we don't hurt people deliberately. And when we do, again, apologies need to be able to come just naturally from us because as imitators of the Lord, where and when in this wonderful book does it show us that he was unkind deliberately to anyone? He did speak roughly to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, those who were part of the Sanhedrin, because they were promoting a false religion. But nonetheless, he was always loving, seeking their best, their greatest good at his expense. He was always being loving and kind and very willing to forgive. So as Christians, when you look at the title on your message notes, becoming a well-respected leader, you can put in there becoming a well-respected Christian. You can put in there becoming a well-respected husband, becoming a well-respected wife, becoming a well-respected parent, grandparent. You can substitute that particular word any way you want. But I wanted to talk to us about leadership. At the beginning of the year, we have 6 core value teams that need our leaders to come together and to begin to pray through with their teams what they're going to be doing for the Lord in the coming months, that we can be used by Him for great things. My desire, though, was to talk to 3 men that you raised up for me a month and a half ago who are called the elders. You called me almost 40 years ago to be your shepherd. These fellas you raised up and affirmed to be your elders. And so I'm focusing on them and the qualities of being and becoming and adding to the qualities, the character qualities of being a good leader. And we are to hold one another responsible for these qualities. So last week, we looked at the beginning of these 6 characteristics, and on page 1, it was integrity. Integrity is very important for a leader. A leader must have integrity not only within the church, but outside the church as well. It's a qualification to be an elder. And if there are those outside the church or inside the church that know that this person is not a person of integrity, you need to go to him or to her and talk with them about it lovingly. Discuss the quality that you're seeing that shows them not to be a man or a woman of integrity. So having discussed that last time, we're going to pick up this morning there on page 2 with the second character quality. So the question I left you with last time, you can see there in your notes, how can you become a leader who people respect? And the answer obviously is to develop this integrity, to be this man, this woman that has impeccable moral quality, to be this person, to be pursuing becoming this person. For the elders, gentlemen, I am speaking to you as well as to myself. This first quality we looked at of integrity is something you should wake up to every morning and ask yourself, was I yesterday a man of integrity? And today, I need to go into this workaday world. I need to go to the church, wherever it is I'm going to be working, serving. I need to be a man that is in Christ Jesus, having had my time, my DPE, my deep personal experience with Jesus, my gnosko time, that time of intimacy, and talked with him. I want to be able to imitate him today as being a man of integrity. I need your help, Holy Spirit. It's the only way I can live a supernatural life is to do it with the Holy Spirit. So, gentlemen, we need to wake up in the morning and actually think about that. So if we don't think about it, we're going to spend a portion of our day living in the flesh, all of us. And when we live in the flesh, that most of the time resembles the devil. We need to be people that are seen as examples of followers of Jesus. And he is the epitome of integrity. So we spend time with he who is the epitome of integrity to help us go through the day. And likewise, the second quality here being humility. Would you say that word with me? Humility. Integrity and humility are necessary if the elders are going to be able to move forward as last year, this year, going into this new year as men becoming more like Jesus Christ, that we become these well-respected leaders. And as I want to reinforce, gentlemen, if we hurt somebody, if we come to the knowledge that we have hurt somebody, we need to go to them and tell them we're sorry and what it is we're sorry for. This is something that Kathy has taught me over 53 years of marriage, and that is when I have told her I'm sorry, she says, "What are you sorry for?" And that used to bother me. Why is it bothering me? It's because I'm not being humble, one. And two, it's because I know what I did wrong, and I just don't want to feel like I'm having my face rubbed in it. And she's not doing that. She wants to know that I am asking her to forgive me for something specifically that I hurt her by. Like I shared with you a few summers back, I crushed that little lady's spirit, crushed it with my words, not by touching her, but my words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That is a lie. That is a big, fat lie. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Yeah, it's a lie. Humility in Proverbs 29, verse 33. Let's read that aloud together with some gusto in our voices, shall we? Proverbs 29, verse 33. One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. Did you hear what the Holy Spirit was sharing with you individually this morning? I've had to look at this, read it through, understand it, and hear it time and again from the Holy Spirit in the preparation of this particular series. One's pride will bring him low. Arrogance will bring your downfall. But if you're humble, you'll be respected. So Gary, Gene, what's the guy's name that's chairman of the council? Chris? We need to be humble. We need this to be because it is a quality of Christ, and we are imitators of Christ, and the church is looking at the four of us to see if we are imitators of Christ and are we dealing with them as Jesus would deal with them. Very important. The word of our Lord says here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Let's read this together aloud. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. We want God's grace in our lives, elders. And this is the way it's going to happen. If we come before him on a daily basis and we lend ourselves to asking him to deliver us into this world as humble men following his son, and we come as men of integrity. Likewise, you who are younger, all of you are younger than I am. Well, I think so. Anybody here over 77? Oh, girls, you can't be that. I thought you just had your 29th birthdays. Okay, there's three of us that are older here, but you need to look at this, and you're to be subject to your elders. You're to come under my authority as your shepherd. As you're to come under the elders, their authority given them by Jesus as your shepherds. Be subject to your elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility. When he says all of you, who's left out? No one, right? All of you. Except maybe me, you know. But no, he says all of you, clothe yourselves with what? Humility. This is a quality that just isn't for the elders. It is a quality every Christian is to manifest. It is part of the grace gifts that have been given all of us. But it's important that we're asking him to help us manifest it every day. And it'd be nice to see that we're doing it throughout the day. But unless we're in the Spirit throughout the day, that'll be difficult. But that is a goal that is before us. Clothe yourselves. It's like I put on this coat today. I am to put on humility. I am to wear it. For God opposes the proud. He comes against those of us who act arrogantly. He's not happy with a son or a daughter who thinks more highly of themselves than they ought. Not happy with us at all. But he still loves us. My goodness, he still loves us. He is telling the four gentlemen I have in mind, but really all of us, to put this humility on every day. Every day. You don't leave the house without wearing your clothes. Is there somebody in our church who leaves the house without their clothes on? We're to put on integrity and we're to put on humility every morning. Think about that when you're getting dressed. When you're putting on your blouse or your shirt. Well, there's my integrity. When you're pulling on your underpants, there's my humility. Talk about humility if you walked around and you didn't have those on. You'd be humbled. Serving other people will develop humility, family. Jesus didn't come into the world and demand that we serve him, right? He came into the world as what? A servant. He didn't come into the world as the King of Kings. He's going to. He didn't come into the world as Lord of Lords. The point, in fact, when he came into the world, this is who he is anyway. But that's not the way he came in, and he demanded us to be looking at him. He wanted us to understand that he is the Messiah. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. And as such, if we receive him, he will then give us that wonderful grace gift of salvation. But then we are to be imitators of him. We are to take his word and begin as much as we can, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, to make it our own. To make it our own on a daily basis. Say with me, to be a successful leader, In Jesus' eyes, I must be humble. To be a successful leader, in Jesus' eyes, I must be humble. I'm going to give the rest of you who didn't say that an opportunity to say that. To be successful, in Jesus' eyes, I need to be humble. And I need to be pursuing integrity. But there is often a misunderstanding about humility. It doesn't mean that you need to be putting yourself down and that you're Dorothy Doormat or someone like that. It just means that you oftentimes may be denying your strengths. We don't need to be strong as some of us think we need to be with everybody. The fact is, and here's your fill-in, humility means to admit your weaknesses. To admit your weaknesses. Looking at your notes also, humility is realizing how much you owe to other people. How much you owe to other people. Anytime I start to pat myself on the back, I remember the family members. That's my people I'm related to, as well as you, all of you. I remember my family members, my wife, teachers, and friendships that Father God used to make me the person that I am today. We all stand on the shoulders of others, Pastor, elders, leaders, humility is simply admitting who you are. Every person you meet is better than you are in some particular area. I cannot deal with computers the way Pastor Eugene can. Kathy won't let me cook in the kitchen unless it's TV dinners. There are things that other people can do better than you. And it's important that we remember that. Likewise, you're better at other things than other people are. Much better. You know, some of you rescue animals. Some of you rescue cats. Cats were born to kill me. I'm allergic to their soft fur or something. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Let's read this aloud together with some strength, okay? Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. What is the Holy Spirit communicating to us? You know, family, I met people when I was in university, and they would say, well, the Bible is, you know, the Old Testament's 4,000 years old and the New Testament's 2,000 years old. I mean, why bother looking at this ancient old book? Well, look what the Lord has to say here. I mean, what he has to say, you know, goes across all centuries. He says here through Peter to the church, he says to us this morning, finally, in conclusion, he says, finally, all of you, not some of you, every single one of you, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy. In other words, you are someone who has this deep sensitivity to other people, but specifically when he says, all of you have sympathy, means to be bearing with other people who are bearing burdens right now. Come alongside them and be of help to them. Finally, all of you have unity of mind. Be like-minded. Don't let the world shove in and change what the Word of God has to say about the sinfulness of our culture. You know, the new morality is the old immorality. It's still immoral. What he said, he meant for all time. He didn't change his mind about sinfulness. It is what it is. It is sinfulness. Finally, all of you have unity of mind. Be like-minded. Have sympathy. Bear with one another. Have brotherly love, that phileo love, that love that you come alongside other people and you help them out. You're doing what is best for someone other than yourself. A tender heart, and here it's talking about compassion, having deep, deep feelings, and a humble mind, putting someone else, their interests, ahead of your own. And this is what we as elders need to be mindful of. We need to be living this passage of Scripture out. So I recommend to the Council of Elders that we memorize this passage of Scripture and that we make it our own. And as we sit down with the Lord and talk about needing humility today as we enter into it and integrity, that we bring these things to mind as well as we are going to be dealing with lots of different people. People respect leaders who understand they have weaknesses and aren't afraid to admit them. So your action step, looking at your notes, be transparent about your weaknesses. Be transparent, elders. GHCC, let us be transparent about our weaknesses. To be a leader people respect, you need to develop integrity and humility. Get it? Good. Number three, to be developing in this area, we need dependability. Dependability. Would you say that word with me? Dependability. Proverbs 25, verse 14. It says, like clouds and wind without rain is a man or a woman. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of gifts he does not give. He does not give. People who promise things that they never give are like clouds and wind that bring no rain. You know, 4 weeks ago, I think it's okay to say this. I hope Annette won't get mad at me. Annette has a love for clouds. Seriously. She'll be late to work so that she can pull her car off to the side of the road and take a picture of clouds. I'm not lying to you. I've had to dock her thousands of dollars because she's late coming to work. I'm not telling the truth. I'm not a man of integrity. I'm your pastor. So the idea is, you know, you have the clouds that are coming, and we've been in this drought for years, and I look at these clouds that are coming that Annette likes to point out, and I, well, come on, you know, give us a little moisture here, come on, you know, no moisture, you know. 3 weeks ago, I got up there, come on, you know, we got this drought, come on, and buckets, you know. I've been baptized out of the drought. Dependability. If we say we're going to do something, we need to do it. In Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 and 3, look there. The Lord was with Joseph. We're talking about, you know, the guy with the multicolored clothes. You know, he got himself in trouble with his brothers. He kept telling them how great he is and how bad they are. And they threw him in a hole. And they were talking about, are we going to kill this kid or what? You know, my dad really likes him a lot. Yeah, but he's such a pain in the neck, you know. And so here comes the caravan. They sell him into slavery. He goes off to my son-in-law's country, Egypt. And my son-in-law's family, you know, they buy him out of slavery. No, not really. But this guy, Potiphar, you know, who's the commander of Pharaoh's armies, he buys him out of slavery from the slave market. He's still a slave working for Potiphar. And it says, the Lord was with Joseph. And he became a successful man. Now bear in mind, Joseph is a slave. A slave. And he becomes a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. Masters have slaves. Slaves have masters. This is Potiphar. His master saw that the Lord was with him. Well, what has he seen? He has seen this Jew that he has purchased, that he owns, and he must be seeing that he spends time in worship of Jehovah God, because the Egyptians didn't worship Jehovah. They had all these other pantheon of gods and goddesses. But he observes that Joseph was with the Lord. Gnosko time? I don't know. These deep personal experiences he was having with Jehovah God? I can't be certain. I can only guess that it was obvious to Potiphar that he was having really intimate times with his God. The Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Joseph was dependable. Potiphar could trust him to do what he wanted done because he put him over all of his household. But then his wife decided to get amorous, and you know the story, and so forth, and he ended up getting tossed in the prison. But nonetheless, up to here, as a slave, he's a very successful man because he is very in tune with his God. And likewise, gentlemen, we are to be very much in tune with our Heavenly Father through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be walking in the Spirit so that other people see in us Him. Very important, gentlemen. The church looks to us not like we are super special people or anything, but we are examples for the rest of the church family. Because being a leader in the church, I don't wish that on anybody. It is very difficult. But nonetheless, with His help, we can do what we have signed up for. The fact is this, here's your fill-in. We respect people when we know we can count on them. I won't ask core value leaders, but, you know, it's discouraging to call for a meeting and then have people on the team not show up. Because, you see, they're a team. A team works together. You know, if the quarterback on the L.A. Rams were to show up and nobody else on the team showed up for the team meeting, that's probably why they did as poorly as they did this year. You can't be successful as a team unless the team shows up. Well, I don't want to be part of the team anymore. Okay, fine. But get on another team, because we're to be servants of the Most High God. We are to be working for Him to accomplish things that are important to Him that have eternal consequences. We respect people when we know we can count on them to do what they've promised to do. Like the persecuted church, I'm depending on you to be praying for Fatima. I hope nobody's thinking, who in the world was Fatima? And I hope we're still praying for Rebecca and her daughter. I hope they're part of our daily prayers, to remembering them. Fatima's in prison, in an Iranian prison, where they hang people and rape people and break people's legs and arms and murder them. And our sister is in that prison. Rebecca's husband and son were killed by Boko Haram. We need to be praying for the Rebeccas and the Fatimas of the church who are being persecuted. You've probably seen this in your own family or career or ministry. You've had someone promise to help you and serve alongside you. Then the person leaves and you're left to pick up the pieces. You don't respect someone who does that. We can always earn respect back, but it's hard to respect someone who does that to you. You can't depend on them. Remember being convicted of this as a parent. It was easy to make rash promises to my children about surfing, taking Ronnie surfing, or taking him to Disneyland, which I would really think about now, only to let other priorities take precedence over the promises I had made to them. It wasn't a big deal to me then if I didn't follow through on my promises, but it was to them. Was to them. The fact that they're this big makes no difference. They were depending on me. I told them I'd do something. And there were times when I didn't. The same is true with people that you work for, work with, go to school with, work with here in the church. I've repented, and I asked each of my kids to forgive me. I've even asked them years later, because I've been so convicted by the Holy Spirit that what I did, the promise made, promise not kept, my not being dependable for them. I've asked them to forgive me, even as adult kids, because I still feel bad about it. And so I should, but I need to let it go. But I went to all of Ronnie's baseball games, and I took him surfing at 4:30 in the morning so we could be first and have a parking place. I went to all of Julie's gymnastic events, her workouts. That girl, she could hang from a horizontal bar. She could hang up there and then just lift up her legs over 100 times. She didn't have a 6-pack. She had an 8-pack. Went to her football games to watch her cheerlead and do all these crazy things that, you know, the girls when I was in high school, all they did was hoorah, hoorah, sis, boom, bah. You know, there wasn't any of these round-off flip-flops. There wasn't any of this stuff that you had to be a gymnast to be able to do. Same with Mindy. You go to watch her skate. She liked to ice skate. She wanted to be Dorothy Hamill, which made me shudder because I was Dorothy Hamill's bodyguard for a while, and she has a terrible mouth. Had. That's been a long time ago. Action step. If you consistently fail to fulfill your commitments, I'm choosing my words carefully here, consistently fail to fulfill your commitments, you'll lose your ability to lead. I've never seen that with our current elders. I've never seen them not fulfill their commitments. A leader must be dependable, humble, and full of integrity. Get it? Good. So, if you want to be a leader that people respect, you need to be a person of humility, dependability, and integrity, and you need to come back next Sunday so I can give you the next one, the next two. So, let's pray, shall we? Abba, Father, thank you that you are the epitome of integrity. That you have demonstrated, you, God Almighty, you have demonstrated to us through your Son, our King, our Lord, what it is to be a humble servant. I don't see secular kings, lords, being humble. They seem to be people that think they deserve an awful lot of homage, worship. And you are also the epitome of integrity. So, my Lord, I ask you to help me. Help me, please. Help me to be intoxicated with God the Holy Spirit, that I would be such a man who is daily pursuing these three characteristics that you've pointed out to us thus far. That I might be a man that demonstrates such things first and foremost to you, second, to my wife. and that I continue to be open to her loving, constructive criticisms, that I may grow in these character qualities, thereby to be a leader to her, to the men I serve this church with, to my church family, that they know and can be certain that this is truly my heart's desire, to be this kind of a person that is imitating your awesome Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is an imitator of you. So, Father, help each of us to take these three character qualities and then next week the remaining three to heart and live them out so that others outside the church, when they see us, they will know that we are different and nicely different. That people within the church will say, there is someone I can follow as an example of the Lord Jesus right here in my church family. And to know that as family, we can come to one another. When we're letting other people down because we're not being particularly dependable, we're not being particularly humble, and our integrity might be in question. So, my Lord, I ask that the Holy Spirit will not allow the lessons you've given us last week, this morning, and next, that he will not allow them to slide away, but that these message notes will be used and used and used again if necessary to be reminded, if we haven't memorized, the qualities we should be seeking to live out for your glory and your honor each and every day. So, Father, I ask these things sincerely in your Son's great and awesome name and for the Holy Spirit's help to administer these things in my life and in the life of this church. So it's in Christ we pray. Amen.